Right, folks, well, if you'd like to get a bit closer view, I've got a few things to hand out and to show you. Do come and sit at the front with your mums and dads or one of your parents if you'd like to. Otherwise, I'm very happy to stay where you are, whatever you'd like. But I've got things I'd like to put in your hands. I need a few people at the front at least. Great. Okay, could you please find the book of Jude? It's near the back of the Bible. I dispute that it's the shortest book. Maybe it's the shortest book and the other ones are letters. Not quite sure. But if you look just across the page to 3 John, you'll see it's shorter. What do we reckon? We've got repentance over here. We've had some shaking up over there. Okay, Jude. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. And did you know he was the brother of James and Jesus? So this is one of Jesus' brothers. To those who've been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to read bits of this book, just the first bit and the last bit, and I'd love you to listen carefully. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5, and then I'm going to read verse 17 to 23, and then I'm going to talk to you. And I'm going to start off with an illustration about football, so you'll listen carefully for that. So he introduces himself. And then he says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men, who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Well, he then goes on to tell the people he's writing to all about these men who slipped in. And at the end, verse 17, he says, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and they don't have the Spirit. That's quite strong. He's saying there are people in amongst you who are not Christians. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by sinful flesh. Okay, let me pray for us. This is an amazing little letter. It's a really important lesson for us to listen to. Let me pray. Please, Heavenly Father, help us to hear the warning Jude wrote to his hearers 2,000 years ago. We know there are scoffers and those who mock Christianity even now, and we pray we'd be warned about that. Amen. Imagine you have a group of friends you like a lot, and you've grown up together and you've been playing football for ages, and you're so good you've all got onto the same football team, Sawston United. You're on the same team together. You're good at the game. You trust each other. You know what your favourite moves are and who's good in what position. But then two things happen. You move away to another place. And you hear that some new people have joined your old team. But what you hear is worrying. So worrying that the next time you get in touch with your old footy friends, you say, although you'd love to talk about football with them, you've got to tell them something really bad. You found out that these new people on your football team, who've secretly got in, don't care about football. They can talk a good game, they know the offside rule, they look and sound like genuine Sawston United football fans, but the truth is they're actually damaging the team. They're undermining what you care about. They're playing just for themselves and not the team. And you say to your friends, listen, I'm your friend and I need to tell you about this because these guys are damaging the team. And there are three things you say. You say, you need to know the game, You need to know your opposition and you need to be merciful. It's only a short letter. You can see it fits on one side of a page of the Bible. One page is all you write, but it turns out that this was what your friends needed to hear. It saves the day. Now, if you love football and you cared about your team, you'd write, wouldn't you? You'd tell your friends something awful was happening. Well, that's just what Jude does in his letter, only what he cares about isn't football, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news about him. What he says is just the same. He says, know the faith, know the opposition, and show mercy. He starts in verse 3, my dear friends, I really wanted to write to you about the salvation we all share. He wanted to write to them about the brilliant news of the gospel, but he felt he had to write to urge them on another matter. They need to do something. They need to contend, which means to fight for the faith. Why? Well, there's certain men who secretly slipped in amongst them. That's there in verse 4, and that's horrid. Because he's saying, listen, the big danger to your church isn't from the outside, it's people who are in the middle of your church already. They've slipped in, they're friends, they're nice people, but they are undermining the church. The big danger is the people who are inside. So what does he say? He says, know the faith, that's what you believe about Jesus. You need to know your opponents. You need to know what they're saying. And you need to show mercy. So firstly, you need to know the faith. You can only tell a fake if you know the real thing first. What have I got here? Who knows what this is? What is it? Abby. Is money. Is it good money? What sort of money is it? Barnaby knows it's monopoly money. If I went down to Budgeons and tried to buy £500 worth of sweets, what would happen? They wouldn't give me anything. They'd say, that's monopoly money, go away, that's a fake. That's not real money. Well, you can see that it's not real money because it's the wrong colour and it's the wrong size and it's got nothing on the back. Easy to tell that's a fake, isn't it? Okay, but what happens if I get this out? And this out? And this out? What's this? A £5 note. Do you recognise it?
No.
Have you not got any? I think you recognise one of those, wouldn't you, Tobes? He got one for his birthday. He's very happy. Well, he thinks he did, but let me say something else. These are not real. I have something to tell you. Look. Now, if you look closely and turn them over, you'd tell they're not real. They're just photocopies. Here, you have one. And you have one. I want them back. Because I have to tell you something about these. This is illegal, what I just did. I'm not allowed to do that. So I'm going to rip it up afterwards and put it in the bin.
Yeah, come here.
All right, stand up. Turn around, face them, and let's get legal again in here. Rip them up, because they're not real. Okay, stop. Okay, that's enough. Okay, put the paper on here, please. Those aren't real because they haven't been printed on both sides. How else do you know they're not real? Okay, here's a real one. This one's got both sides. It's got silvery bits on. Those ones didn't have... No, you can't rip this one. Not unless you want to give me a new one. It's got a line down the middle. Can you see that? That's a little bit of metal inside it. So this isn't a fake. And you can tell if you get a real one and you hold it up against the fake one. But you can't do that anymore. Do you know that the way they train people in banks to spot the real ones from the fake ones is they give them loads and loads and loads of real ones to count, like thousands of pounds, and they have to spend hours and hours counting them. And in the end, they get to know what a real one feels like and looks like and probably smells like. And they can tell when there's just a photocopy and it's not real. Well, Jude says you need to know what real faith is. And the way you'll be able to tell fakes is if you know what the real thing is. Jude says in his letter, that look right at the beginning, real faith is about people being called and loved by God and kept by Jesus Christ. And he says it's about salvation. Who knows what salvation is? Salvation, three syllables, long word. What is it, Tobes? It's about being, another word for salvation?
Saved.
Another word for saved, it's about being rescued. Real faith is about being rescued. It's not something you automatically get. Who's seven? Who's seven already? Did you have to try hard to be seven? No, you just had to wait long enough. And then on your seventh birthday, when you were 7 years from when you were born, you became seven. Maybe you even had a party, but you didn't have to try hard. Or you didn't have to believe anything to be seven. It just automatically became seven. That's not like Christianity. Christianity is not automatic. It's not about being good. It's not about being nice and kind or going to church or being baptized. It's about being rescued. Now, you need to remember that. You need to ask your mum and dad when you go back, please tell me, mum and dad, about being rescued. You see, a person is only a Christian if they themselves, one by one, have been rescued, called, and loved, and kept by Jesus. That's genuine faith. That's the most important, precious thing. That's why at the end of his letter, look at the end, he says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus." So my question to you this morning is, do you know the faith? Do you know it well enough to spot it if someone's telling you rubbish? Do you know why you need to be rescued? Do you know? Would you be able to answer that question? Why do you need to be rescued? Well, real Christians will love to tell you why they need to be rescued. Fake ones will try and say it's not about rescue. It's about trying to be a better person. It's about following the light. It's about thinking you can do things for yourself. Well, you can't. Jesus has to rescue you. You need to know the faith. That's the first thing. The second thing Jesus says is, what? Know the opposition. You need to know your opposition. You need to know who's against you. You need to know what they're saying, because they're going to secretly slip in and they're going to try and tell you things that aren't true. Well, how can you tell the difference between a true Christian and a fake one? They haven't got a watermark. They haven't got any silver bits. You can't hold them up to the light and see if they're real like that. Well, you need to listen to what they say and look at what they do. And the two things they do are there at the end of verse 4. This is how you can tell. Verse 4 says, "These are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ is sovereign and Lord." So what they're doing is they're saying it's okay to be bad, and Jesus is not in charge. Is there in verse 8? They pollute their bodies and they reject authority. Is there in verse 16? They boast about themselves. And verse 19? They divide you. Okay, let me tell you a story about Alice and Tom. Alice is 6 and her brother Tom is 4. Alice is cute and smiley and she's got blonde hair and everybody thinks she's sweet. And her parents love her very much. And she knows that they do. They do lots of fun things together and they have lots of hugs and they go and play. And Alice's mum and dad are kind and loving and forgiving and generous. And Alice knows it. But Alice begins to be disobedient to her mum and dad. She begins to be unkind to Tom. And she thinks it's okay. You see, because Alice knows that her mum and dad love her very much, and she doesn't think they want to punish her for being naughty. Sadly, she's been right for too long. One day, Alice took something of her brother Tom's and smashed it and smiled. Now, Tom was very upset, and her mum and dad were very sad, and they talked to her and said, "Why did you do that?" But she just kept smiling, because she knew that her mum and dad loved her too much to punish her. She wasn't disciplined. She didn't have to go to her room. She wasn't told to sit on the step and have some time out. She wasn't smacked. And Tom stayed hurt and Alice stayed foolish. Was that right? No, it wasn't. You see, Alice had turned the grace of her mum and dad into a license for being bad. She thought that because her mum and dad didn't punish her very much for being naughty, it was okay to be naughty. And you know what? Soon Tom was becoming just like Alice. He was always saying nasty things. Mum and dad always said nice things, and they never seemed to say hard things or to let him feel the consequences of his actions, so Tom started behaving badly too. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because it's just like the opponents in Jude's letter. They'd slipped into the church and they were happy telling people that God loved them. God loves you. And he's kind and generous and forgiving. And they like Jesus being their saviour. But there's one thing they don't like talking about. What he came to save people from. Jesus came to save people from God's anger at their sin. And that's the problem. Some people don't like thinking about God as being angry about anything. So they don't like talking about God being a fair and just judge. Or what a judge who one day punish all wrongdoing. They don't like thinking about a God who will let people feel the consequences for their rebellion against him. And so what happened? Well, just like what happens in your house, if you can hide from your mum and dad, and you know nobody will find out and nobody will see, you think it's okay to be naughty, don't you? Well, you do bad things. And they began to say it was all right to behave in bad ways, especially when it comes to sex. They turn the grace of God into a license for immorality. And they're doing it today. People are still doing it. They're taking God's good rules about life and saying you can break them because God's not in charge and he won't punish you. Well, Jude has to do a little reminder about what God is really like. Look at verse 5. He says, "Though you already know all this, I want to remind you the Lord did save his people out of Egypt. He did rescue them, but not all of them were grateful, and not all of them lived in the light of that rescue." See how it goes on? He later destroyed those who didn't believe. He did punish people. In verse 6, he talks about angels who get sent to hell. And in verse 7, he talks about two towns, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed by a volcano. They serve an example for those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. So what he's saying is that anyone who talks about God as being loving but leaves out the fact that he's a just judge, well, they're the opposition. God is a God who is loving enough to punish sin. Anybody who says not is not a real Christian. They are opponents who slipped in amongst you and they need to be looked out for. They forget Jesus is our Saviour and they forget God is angry at our sin. Verse 19, sadly, these are men who divide you and they merely follow natural instincts. So those are the two things at the top. Know the faith. You need to know what you believe so you can tell a fake. Know your opposition. They don't talk about God being angry at sin and being our judge. And the last thing he says is this, show mercy. Now this is hugely encouraging. God says show mercy. Look at verse 22. He's writing to his friends that he cares about so much. And he says, verse 22, be merciful to those who doubt. And verse 23, show mercy. Show mercy. Showing mercy is not giving up on people. Even if someone's done something bad and hurt you, or someone you love, don't give up on them. Don't think that they can't change. Keep loving them. It's not about taking revenge for the hurt that someone's caused you. No, showing mercy is being nice to them, loving them enough to tell them that they've been wrong and to help them to go right. Do your best to help the person who seems about to fall into a fire. If you were near a hot fire and you're about to put your hand out, it would be merciful of someone to say, "Don't do that. Pull your hand back, otherwise it'll get burnt." Well, if someone teaches something wrong about God, that he's not a just judge, then the merciful thing is to say, "That's wrong. Don't believe that. He loves you enough to punish. And he punished Jesus in your place." Do you see that's being merciful? Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. He's saying the problem in the church is so bad that people have been persuaded to follow these false teachers. They're doubting the truth. They're being carried away. But don't give up on them. Show mercy. Try your hardest to save them. But he says this: be very, very careful. What happens if you've been vomiting in the night? Are you allowed to go to school the next day? Why not? Why aren't you allowed to go to school the next day? Go on, Josh. That's right. Other people might get it. You've got to be careful when you've been sick that other people don't get your sickness. So when you try and show mercy to people who are wrong, you've got to be very careful, because they could try and persuade you to believe what they believe. You've got to watch out. It says here, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. That means if somebody's got, if you blow your nose on your tissue when you've got a cold, what's in that tissue? Germs. And if that those germs got too near to someone else, what would they get? They'd get your cold. So when you show mercy to people who believe the wrong thing, be careful. Love them, but be careful, because you could catch their cold. That's what he's saying. Take care. Don't let that stop you trying to help them, though. There are lots of stories in history about when nasty diseases broke out. I don't know if you know about this. And people ran away from that area so they could get away from the nasty disease. And all the people who were dying were left in this little village, dying. No one to help them. But some people showed mercy. They stayed behind to help. I mean, they were careful. They used to wear special things over their mouths to stop them getting the germs. And they washed their hands a lot. But they showed mercy by trying to help the people who were dying. Well, we need to be the same to people who believe wrong things about God. Show mercy. That's what Jude says here. Well, that's it. That's his letter. Remember the footy friends I started with? They love Sawston United and they play together. One guy went away, but he cared enough to write to his friends and tell them they were in danger. And he said, know the game, know your opposition, and show mercy. Well, to show mercy in that football team would be to go back to that team and to the people who were inside believing the wrong things, try and show them they were wrong. Love them enough. Help them see what it is to play football properly for your team. Well, let's do that in our church. Listen to the warning. We need to know what we believe about being called by God. We need to know how to spot a fake, know the opposition. The people who say that God is too nice to judge and sin doesn't matter. No, no, we need to say it does matter. Jesus died for sin. And show mercy. Seek to help people who haven't understood that Christianity is about a rescue. Show them that Jesus came to die for them too. Can you remember the three lessons from the letter of Jude? Let's all say them out loud. Know the faith, know the opposition, and show mercy. Well, maybe you could read that letter again this week. It's really short. You could read it with your mum and dad. Let me pray for us as we stop. Please help us, Heavenly Father, to be able to spot a fake. Please help us to know our faith so well that we aren't taken in when people slip in and teach wrong things. And we pray that you'd help us to show mercy to those who doubt. Help us to be so loving, but careful as we share the hope we have with others. And we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.